1997 to 2007 figure series YRHC guide with a rank and file and upwards to 6 volume set. Ooh, look at these guys with show prep. I like it.
We do.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
See, Tim, that's show prep.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be it's the start of the 4-inch series. That's the 25th anniversary in Resolute, and as the volumes continue, we'll work all the way up to Rise of Cobra, Pursuit of Cobra, 30th anniversary, basic assortment, retaliation, club exclusives, and so on. So yeah.
So take the folks out there through a random page. What are they going to find if they're flipping through your book, James?
I mean, the quintessential details. If you're familiar with the first guide, I really precedent that I set, I can flip through. Since I have the awesome show prep, I mean, it's the figure, the accessories. The only thing that's a slight difference compared to the first guide is that the first one was a compendium, so on the back it had an accessory section with every accessory, for example, M16. And they put the M16 out in black and brown and gunmetal gray and blah, 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 blah. I went ahead and organized and categorized that, all those weapons, so it's a visual compendium in its own right, and I gave them a number. So when you see these accessories, they have their number on them, and it'll make sense once you buy the subsequent accessory guide.
What can we find these for on the sales floor, James?
$20.
Same as in town, $20, same as in town. All right. Another notable change from the first one is, if you look here, I'm on the acknowledgement page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That didn't happen in the first one.
Oh, my God. You don't know how much crap you got from this guy for not being acknowledged last time.
I got to get on the panel right about that somehow. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Everything's got its price.
I think it actually, if you put it on the one of the free, podcasts, you're like, what's it going to take to put me in the acknowledgements?
I think
when you make a list, you forget people, James.
Yeah, and if you know what, I'll give a shout out to Kobe Brown because I heard it this time around.
I really don't care, James. It's a wonderful.
No. I don't think I ever addressed it on the podcast. If it needs to be done, so Mike Irizarry, as a local guy, I would bring my proofs. No, in all seriousness, there's so much of a behind the scenes team on anything that I do in particular. Actually, all three of these fine gentlemen. Because I acknowledge Justin Bell in the acknowledgments, but like they're just like my second eyes, my proofreaders. And so if there's actually any errors, yeah, it's these guys. Don't blame me.
I thought just acknowledging Justin Bell was just par for the course. I thought that was something you had to do, like a mafia payment.
Well, I gotta keep my 5-star rating. I think, am I at 5 stars?
I'll make sure you get 5 stars.
Okay, great. All right.
Checks in the mail.
Jay hated the book, 5 stars.
Yeah.
But going back to the first book, James, I remember being at the convention in Atlanta in 2007. And then you came up to our room and you were showing us proofs then. So we know how long of a labor that was for you. The second time through, what kind of time frame are we looking on? How long were you working on this, the material for this volume?
When I'm not goofing around, I'm like kind of a data junkie. So I'm always tabulating. Grabbing like all the data I have in an Excel spreadsheet, X, Y, and Z.
And spying on the folks who leave their email on our website, right?
I try to. I mean, just so you know, if you put it out there. No, I'm just saying. But yeah.
That wasn't going well.
No.
I mean, once the infrastructure is put out there, it's on that portion, the skeleton of sorts is easy to just kind of lay out and move forward. So I kind of hit the ground running. As much as I really wanted to just back off and chill out and do my private life sort of thing, I can't help it. You guys keep me going.
When did the first book come out? Remind us, what year?
2011.
Okay, so this Orlando. Is literally 4 years in the making for this one.
More or less, yeah. I mean, the short answer for anybody that's asking about the subsequent volumes, like the entire project is about 80 to 90% finished, but that's 0% of, you know what I mean? Something. So it's an all or nothing type thing. So the subsequent volumes should indeed, hopefully, come out very soon.
So Justin Bell did the forward in your first book, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't have any other
way. Mike would be able, you would be able to write the forward and was it the 30th?
Yeah.
So Mike and I will be in the 30th, so we will finally get our time. We won't be living in Justin Bell's shadow all the time.
That's right.
Yeah, all jokes aside, I'm very excited, and I'm glad that you two will be doing that. Unfortunately, shout out to Gary Head. He was like starting his my forward for the second volume. Long story, like I kind of wanted to have a back and forth between Pat and Gary. Pat was very kind to do the first one. Gary, unfortunately, will be strongly acknowledged in the second one. And you guys will be in the third one, so it'll be a nice way to wrap that up.
Good deal. And how many volumes are we looking at on the whole here?
If I do get to the point, if I do a mint package, mint on card, section 6.
All right, so there we go. Volume one and the first step of a six-step odyssey. James Cavanaugh Jr., Rank and File, A Guide to the 4-Inch G.I. Joe Action Figures. Let's give him a big hand.
20 bucks.
20 bucks on the floor. Say no. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you guys happen to ask?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Glad you are going fast.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not joking. If you really want it, you better get it today, because I'm like inches away from selling. I might even be sold out. I haven't been in my booth yet. Noted author got a little noted loaded last night.
Stop.
And you guys haven't yet.
I do indeed have a writing on my back.
I see the pictures.
Took the pictures.
You guys should really check out the cover too. Look at it, covering the back cover. He really went to great lengths to reproduce the cover to G.I. Joe number one using actual 25th anniversary action figures. He hand built a lot of the explosions and the effects and all that
show
stuff.
The back. The back's beautiful.
A really great job on all this stuff. Kind of definitely picking up the next level.
I gotta stay off the streets at night somehow, so
Dean, thanks you.
Yeah, they really do. Sadly.
The city of Dayton got
in the acknowledgement page.
But he's even got the little grunt in the top corner with the Uzi. Yeah. So it's a nice touch there. It's the only time you ever see grunt with an Uzi, but James got it.
James, you have a win. Round of applause.
Are you guys going to be sitting here for a little while?
What's that?
You guys going to be sitting here for a little while?
About.
I'm going to go take a nap.
About 6 hours. Until they kick us off,
which will probably be fairly soon.
Okay.
All right.
No snoring.
So let's move on to our second guest.
Oh, I'm supposed to take a nap.
These mics are pretty good. They're wrapping up the story.
our second guest, you may, if you've been plugged into the community, you may recognize his work on A Real American Blog. Am I getting that right?
Real American Book.
Real American Book? Or your blog? I'm sorry. Your blog, A Real American Book, which is named after your Real American Book. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our second contestant today, Mr. Tim Finn. Tim Finn, come on down! Tim's like a real chill guy, Price Ride, just like first, second row. He's like, yeah, here I am. But...
Hello, everyone. Good morning, Gary and my contestant.
Good morning.
Practicing my NPR voice.
We don't do NPR.
You gotta do the diaphragm. You gotta work that.
Okay. So if we're still making Price is Right references, is this Bob Barker Price is Right or Drew Carey Price is Right?
Bob.
There's no Price is Right other than Bob Barker. Sorry.
In summer camp in 1987, so I'd gotten a Milton Bradley Price is Right home board game.
Oh, sweet.
Which is not great because there's so much it didn't come with. It didn't come with a wheel. Didn't come with any games that involved any three-dimensional aspect. It was all cards, flat printed color cards with sort of a Scrabble style plastic number tiles, and that's how you bid on something or guess your price. So at summer camp one year I built Plinko with pennies and nails, and then the next year I built the wheel, and then hole-in-one, the little miniature golf game, and no one in my family liked board games as much as me. So it was like pulling teeth. It's like, why don't we just watch The Price is Right? No, we can play it, and I'll be Bob Barker. This miniature golf thing is like a foot long, and you're holding this little wooden stick, and the miniature golf ball is a BB, because we had riflery in this camp. Anyways, that's everything I know about G.I. Joe.
But you might be a bigger game show nerd than Gary.
I think next year we're going to play The Feud.
I think we have to.
There were a couple of years where, in the late 80s or early 90s, I noticed on the days that I was sick home from school, game shows were going away, and they were all getting replaced with talk shows. Mm. And I sort of wasn't... I was allowed to watch talk shows, but they seemed so grown up and stressful, whereas game shows are so... I mean, there's a different anxiety. Like, what if they don't win the car? But game shows are joyous.
And yeah, they're fun.
And that's a strange kind of capitalism. And people arguing about paternity and G.I. cheating on each other, and it's like, well, what can you do to change your life? Those are not as enjoyable to a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old.
No, Frank, if they're not chanting, if you're not actively chanting Jerry, there's no connection there. But enough about daytime television. Well, it's never really enough about daytime television, is it? No, no, it's not.
Bombing today. Bombing.
But Tim, why don't you, I don't think we've got visual aids for you, but why don't you tell us about your project?
A Real American Book started in 2001. That was my first interview. And I had read two books which really struck me. One was Batman Animated, which is written by Paul Dini and designed by Chip Kidd. And this is a hardcover coffee table book. And it's the art of Batman, the animated series, so the Fox cartoon from the 90s. And it's mostly pictures, there's a little bit of text, and it shows the development of the show, character designs, background designs, little bits from the people who produced and wrote for the show, little bits about dealing with a network and adapting Batman. And then I read John Micklig's G.I. Joe, The Complete Story of America's Favorite Man of Action. And Micklig, if you only know him from the Masterpiece Edition, co-wrote the hardcover book with Don Levine that came with Hasbro's G.I. Joe Masterpiece Edition, the box with the figure in the book. And the complete guide, the larger book, is an expansion of that smaller book that came with the Masterpiece Edition. And I thought, after reading these two in succession, I can't wait till one of these guys writes this kind of book for my G.I. Joe, the 80s G.I. Joe. And then I realized, oh, these guys are like a generation too old to have grown up with Real American Hero. They're not going to do this. Oh, I have to do this.
You weren't content to wait for James Cavanaugh like the rest of us?
No, I was not. I was not aware of Mr. Cavanaugh at the time, because I wasn't on discussion boards, and in the early 2000s, I was very much in Transformers land, and I'm still a big Transformers fan, but I was going to BotCon, and I was buying a lot of Transformers.
Leave our guest alone. Down below.
I think you can say boo, because I wasn't enough into G.I. Joe, but I don't we all get along? Don't the sister brands from Hasbro?
Most of us, just not Gary.
Gary is what we would like to, what we like to call in the business, the worst.
You might say he's five-faced like a Quintesson.
Go ahead. You keep going with it. Momentum.
That joke doesn't actually make sense. I was just searching for something, some kind of Transformers insult. I started interviewing people who worked on the comic book and the animated series, and it took a little while to connect with people who had worked on the toy. And there's a gentleman who I interviewed by phone.
Yeah, you did.
I think you were on in your car.
I don't remember where I was.
I think you were driving to a session.
Listening at home, it's Brian Cummings.
Brian Cummings.
I'm really thrilled to have you here, former guest.
So it's 2015 now, and I've got about 200 interviews, and they're pretty evenly divided between people who worked for Hasbro, Marvel Comics, Marvel Productions, Sunbow Productions, Deke, and then a few here and there from a different company like Claster, which distributed the cartoon, people involved in the live-action movies that were in development in the early 90s that did not get made, and it's very exciting, and it's also overwhelming because I also teach, and I teach different classes in the spring than I do in the fall. And in the spring, I kind of forget a lot of stuff that I know in the fall, and vice versa. In the fall, I kind of forget the stuff that I teach in the other semester. So at any one moment, like my internal hard drive is only so big, and particularly if it's been a week or a month where all of my other jobs and hobbies have taken a lot of time. 200 interviews worth of information are not at my internal fingertips. And I've tracked down a lot of artwork, and photographs, and some memos beyond the recollections of people. I feel pleasantly overwhelmed, but my favorite days are ones when there isn't anything else to do for the morning. I don't have to go to my other job or my other job, and I don't have to do any important household chore like call a plumber or go to the dentist. And I can just turn on my computer and open up a chapter, draft, or an interview and pick up where I was yesterday and sink back into it and start mining for new material or massaging a sentence. Or my buddy from high school, who's also a very smart, funny, talented writer, is my editor. And every couple of months I'll send him a new draft, and then it takes him a few weeks to read. And then we'll go over by Skype or occasionally in person if he's visiting from New York. We'll go over a chapter and we go through it line by line, and it takes 2 to 5 hours. So in a way, the book aims to be exhaustive, 1980 to the mid-90s, 96, 97. But in many ways, it can't be, because it can't be 800 pages. So in terms of toys, it's not everything that wasn't made and everything that was. It's not every anecdote. Not everyone gets credit. And then it's the same for the shows and the comics. But I do hope to touch on many of the people who were involved, many who have not gotten a lot of credit, explain some things from a marketing perspective, from a creative perspective, from an end-user customer perspective. There's a lot of historical context. So Ronald Reagan gets mentioned, and the space shuttle gets mentioned, because all this stuff was being developed and bought not in a vacuum, but sure. by all of us makers and consumers in actual history. So there's some journalism to this, but I also think of the text as peppy and entertaining. And when I get too dry, my editor says, "This is too dry. I've got a rewrite for this paragraph." Or sometimes he says, "This is great. It's too long. Cut it." So there goes that paragraph. So I think I can finish writing it. Sorry?
Oh,
he is my most important, my editor is my most important collaborator on this book, and I could not do it without him. And it takes a lot of his time, and I'm grateful. I think I can finish writing within 1 year. It's only been 14 years. And then my designer, who works at a studio, coincidentally in Pawtucket, she's behind me a couple steps designing chapters as we go. So I think I can finish it in 2016. Getting it published or publishing it is a very different, large, exciting, terrifying process that I don't have anything to say about right now. So I'm working on writing.
And for anyone who wants to kind of check out the progress and check out some stuff that you might find within the book, The Real American Hook, it's realamericanbook.com.
Actually, I own that URL. I haven't redirected it. It's WordPress. So it's realamericanbook.wordpress.com. And in theory, it's every week. In practice, it's every 3 weeks. I will post an image, something that won't fit in the book. So a photo of a test shot or a scan of some original art from Marvel or some piece of visual ephemera that you haven't seen and didn't know. And it's, since the book is not, there's no preview of the book itself online because it's still being made, the blog serves both as a as an enticement and also as an extra, and as an outpost and an advertising funnel. So visit me online, follow me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/arealamericanbook. Tweet at me, it's @GIJoeBook. And I also have a website where that's where my other life is, that's not GI Joe Books.
That is excellent. I have to say, you're writing the book that I'm most excited about.
Thank you.
That's because again, it sounds like you said, you use the words exhaustive, and that's really what we haven't seen yet. We've got some folks who focus on the marketing of things. We've got some folks who, you know, James is on product, but you're putting it in context, and that's really what I want to see is how that affected things, and how in fact, and the other way around as well. How did G.I. Joe affect what was going on outside of it? So I'm very excited for your project. Personally, I know Gary. Sadly, his microphone is dead. So
we're live.
Oh, we're back. Okay, yeah. Excellent.
I thought he was cutting me off for a minute doing
his voice is dead. No.
Yeah,
he was just gonna try to prevent an inside sports.
Now I must take yours.
But yeah, we'll let Justin finish up the outro.
All right, so I'm very excited to hear that you're nearing completion of the writing process. Hopefully, publishing goes smooth as well.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Anybody? Tim Penn, everyone.
Everybody give Tim Penn a big hand. So we do, again, we've got a third guest. Thank you, James. Thank you, Tim. But contestant number three, Carson. Come on down! You're the next contestant on the What's on Joe Mind Drunk Book Club.
Don't kiss me.
A dollar!
Justin is the closest thing we've got to Barker's Beauties.
Just gonna try to put this up where y'all can see it.
All right.
That's not gonna work.
Well, but hey, visual learner, just sit and hold. You're good.
I'm out of breath.
We can stall for time for you. Justin, sing them something.
Talk for a while.
Nobody wants that. No.
It's Carson from Three Joes. You know him as the poster guy.
Hopefully you know the guy. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
All right. We got stage hands.
What else we need to guess? Premature confirmation.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. Let me apologize to everybody.
And bad fantasy footballer.
I picked my Cam Newton because I'm from North Carolina.
And I will not. First game, you got screwed.
I will not do that again.
Well, it didn't help. There's a really bad commissioner. Yeah. I locked lineups on Thursday night.
I didn't do that. I just didn't turn it off.
I have words for that on the podcast. I complete. This is live, so.
Yeah. That's true. There are children in the audience, including your own.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hi! So
it's about Carson now.
Yeah. I was about to say, before we waste all of Carson's time.
I'm trying out for the fourth chair, so.
Carson's got a fourth chair to win.
He's lobbied that twice already this weekend to me. So I think he's serious.
I'm not kidding.
All I'm saying, Tim, make. If you see him holding a chair, watch out. But Carson, why don't you tell us a little bit about your project coming up?
Okay, so hopefully everybody knows me from my website. I don't want to be the poster guy or the book guy. But I do those things because I'm making all this stuff for the website, and I think it's a really, you know, number one, I had to come up with a way to make money for the website because the 360 spins cost $80 a month. So that's $960 a year. And then now I have a U-Haul storage unit full of posters. So there's rent on that. Anyway, so I had to come up with something to...
Buy posters.
Yeah, the posters are profitable. And what I'm going to show you today is not at all profitable. It's going to be a straight pass-through to the publisher. This is a zero-profit project for me. This is something that a lot of fans have asked me for because they're running out of wall space. And, you know, they want a coffee table book, so I'm making one. Luckily, the Kickstarter went really well last fall, and that gave me three more posters, so I've got six of them now. And I've finished Photoshop work. The Photoshop work, I don't know if you guys have been on my Facebook page and seen the before and after images. I mean, I take out price tags and price tag tears, wrinkles, dents, anything that I can. I try to get it back to his mint of a digitally restored image as possible. And I spent 140 hours in Photoshop just on the last Kickstarter for three posters. I mean, nights and weekends at the coffee shop nonstop. They started joking about if I was going to pay rent. Because I can't work at home. I've got two wiener dogs, and, you know, they take all my attention. They got the tractor beam vision, you know, take me for a walk, take me for a walk. So
those wiener dogs are insistent.
They're wonderful. So anyway, this is the 82-83 vehicle poster that I just finished. And you guys have already probably seen the carded figures from 82 to 85. So I already had all of the, you know, the retail artwork from figures and vehicles for 82-83. And all I wanted to do was add the catalog art and a couple other tangential pieces like the lunchbox that has the beautiful paintings on it and put it in a book format so everybody could have it on their coffee tables. So
I'd say you brought visual aids. Why don't we test them out and we'll do our best with the small size.
Holding this will sell you on it. So if you're interested, come hold it. If you're not, you might want to stay away.
It's got some weight to it.
This is a 6-inch by 8-inch prototype. So the actual book is going to be 8 by 11. I tried with the first book to be content with a smaller size, and I cropped in on the figures a little bit and that kind of thing. And once I got it, I'm sold on the product, the quality, the material, craftsmanship, that kind of thing, but I'm not sold on the size. So we're going up larger. It's going to be 2 inches wider and 3 inches taller. It's basically, it's a hardcover, right? Wrap around, have the 19.
You like the thoom sound that made the microphone when you put it down.
That's the book, right?
Told you.
It's heavy. So the company that makes these is called Artisan State, and you can also buy like custom boxes and that kind of thing. So basically what's going to happen is you're going to get on Artisan State, you're going to decide if you want the more expensive book with the real thick cardstock pages or if you want the thinner pages. You'll save $60 if you go the cheaper route, but I think once you've seen the cardstock pages, you're going to want to cough up the extra $60. So the lower price point's $100, the higher price point is $160, and again, that's zero profit to me. I'm just doing this because people want this stuff in a book format, and I've already got it from the posters. So if you want to help me support the site, please continue to buy posters or hit the donate button or whatever. But I wanted to make this because personally I want it on my coffee table, and I know other people have been asking me pretty much nonstop to make a book already because they're running out of wall space. So I'm going to show you what the card, like what the pages look like. They're all cardstock, right? They don't bend. You know, it's like basically you're flipping through a bunch of carded figures. So you can hear that, right? The beauty of it is it's lay flat. So at any point, you can bend that book back and you have, you know, 180 degrees just flat. There's no art lost in the gutter. So when this is an 8 by 11, that spread is going to be 16 inches by 11 inches, right? So the headquarters, add 2 more inches here and 3 more inches here, and you have a print of the headquarters like that. It's just beautiful. So please come up and see it, come touch it, get a feel for the materials and the craftsmanship. But I was completely sold on it. That was my first prototype, and that was 120. And unfortunately, the larger one is 160. And again, it's just a straight pass through to the printer. So what questions do you guys have?
Oh, wow, what big statement.
I know.
I'm Ford Chairman.
Sorry, Chuck.
Sounds, I'm convinced. Sorry, Chuck.
Chuck doesn't get an absentee vote.
He wouldn't get a present vote.
But yeah, so I mean, really, though, a lot of people on the message boards have been asking me, like, okay, that's 6 posters. Who's got wall space for 6 posters? I've got them at my house in my Joe room, and then I've also got them at my office decorating my cubicle, but I understand that people don't have that much wall space.
Have you thought about a future as a wallpaper designer?
Actually, one guy did ask me, like, how much would it be for 20 posters so I can decorate my bathroom with just the loose figures?
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? But I gave him a good price, too, but he didn't come through.
But so in terms of switching things up, you know, switching gears like this, what... How long does that process take you?
Well, so luckily, all of the artwork that's in that book is already done for previous projects, previous posters, right? So laying out, designing that book didn't take me a week and a half, you know? Now, that said, when I get into the second volume, which will be 84, 85, I should say this is 82 and 83. Every carded figure, every vehicle, every playset, plus some marketing stuff like the lunchbox. I do want to point out, so those figures are going to be life-size, so just a touch bigger, and then everything else about around it will be white space, like negative space, so they're not going to be cropped anymore.
I tried to be content with a smaller scale, and I'm not. And I'm not going to put out a product that I'm not completely happy with. So
I was instructed to display the snow job.
Yeah, got it. But so I tried to be happier with the smaller scale. I'm not. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. So it's going to be the 8.5 by 11.
All right. So only a week and a half. We are providing reward for sloth and indifference. I can get behind that.
So 84, 85 will take longer though, because I've still got to do all the Photoshop work on those vehicle boxes, right? So this one was really quick. The next one's going to be probably another 60, 80 hours of Photoshop work, and that's on top of my, like everybody else, I've got a day job. This doesn't pay the bills. this hobby, you know, the goal with the posters is to pay for the website, and it's a break-even endeavor at best. So
speaking of your day job, you're gonna run some. Championship smack at us here?
No, I'm not going to put you through that. I'll just say one for the thumb.
You can give it to one them.
One for the thumb. You know. Coach K's got five now.
Because Duke making the final game pushed me ahead of him in our pool. So
nice. That makes it there for you.
Well, like the rest of America, I picked Kentucky.
Yeah.
When I'm a total hater of Kentucky anyways.
I thought Kentucky.
But you were dumb to pick against Kentucky. I'm sorry.
I really thought Kentucky was going to win the whole thing.
I don't feel sorry for Kentucky one bit.
Oh, no.
No.
They got 5 7-footers. It's not fair.
And they're all going to the NBA.
Yeah.
What's amazing is we just talked about sports for 30 seconds and the entire crowd glazed over. Sorry.
That was the Draper just, he come snoring a second ago.
Little social experiment.
No, go do. Alma mater.
Oh, yeah. So I work there. I have an excuse.
Cool.
Carson from 3D Joe's, everybody.
Please do come up and check out the sample so you get a feel for it.
And you know, we've got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah. I have a question. Yeah. Where can we order the book, and when will it be available to order?
Right, so the first volume is just 82, 83. That's going to be ready May 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming. It's right around the corner.
And just from your website? Or?
Yeah, and so when I got this printed, I hit the purchase button on a Thursday. It was printed in China and at my house the next Wednesday.
Nice.
I don't know how they do that. That's just
FedEx
crazy.
Is amazing.
That's just crazy. Do we want to bring up the other two guys for questions too, maybe?
Sure, if James is awake.
James!
James, time to spin the wheel!
What?
Time to spin the wheel, Showcase Showdown.
So it'll be available on 3D Joe's.
He's not playing anything, ladies and gentlemen.
The unfortunate thing is the way Artisan State works is you create an account, you log in, and you go and pick the type of book you want to make, and then you go and you upload your artwork, and then you can hit the print button and select where you ship it to. There should be a share button on there or some code I can paste on my site so you guys can just go to that link and buy and get it yourself. I don't want to be the middleman,
but
it doesn't work that way. I've already called into customer support and tried to get it worked out that way. So basically, you'll go to Artisan State. You'll decide if you want the thick pages or the thinner pages, which will save you $60 if you go thinner, but I'd recommend going thicker. Come feel it, and you'll be sold. And then also decide if you want a box of any kind. I just got this cardboard one. I think this was $15, but they have like leather bound boxes and stuff. So you could do whatever you want and then just send me one lump payment for all that. And I send it right to them and then they ship it straight to you.
Okay.
So.
And Carson will sign those or his wiener dogs will sign those.
Little paw prints. Did we sync up on that?
That was good.
We were there.
Chair.
You ready to fight for this, Tim? You got a fight in your hands for the chair. But we've got our three authors still in the audience, of course. Does anybody have any questions for any of them? Any of the folks we've talked to of course this battle? Any questions whatsoever?
I got to make up a question right on the spot. So, Tim, can you tell us anything about the 90s movies without spoiling your book? Just one little tidbit?
Was it the same dude from the commercials?
Different actor. The movies from the 90s, an actor was attached. So I don't know if there was a contract, but there was an intention of, this is not a Hollywood term, an intention of being interested. The production company or the studio thought of an actor, and the actor was interested. And it is an actor familiar to us, not someone obscure. There's a screenplay, an outline, and a treatment that each represent different iterations of this 4 or 5 year development process. There may be one more. I think there's actually another screenplay or another draft that's significantly different. That's an eBay auction that I forgot to bid on like 6 years ago. So I might do a little fan-to-fan investigating if there are other knowledgeable fans who have this kind of material. I wouldn't want that this chapter to be so glaringly incomplete. Like if the book gets published and then someone pops up and says, "Well, yeah, there was a whole other movie you don't mention," but it was a 4 or 5 year process, and as we know, it resulted in no.
Nice. And I'm James. I'm coming right after this to get yours before you sell out.
Excellent. All right. I like that.
Yep.
To anybody else?
Y'all seen that lunchbox? That thing's gorgeous, right? Anything like that? I've got the train set with the cobras getting murdered in the middle of it.
I got the train set too. I watched your video of the opening of it.
Oh yeah.
I love the old Lionel train sets. Or not Lionel, Tyco. HO scale as a kid. That was cool.
Yeah.
We've still got a couple of minutes left, and 5 minutes, as a matter of fact. what we can do, since he's going to be up here anyway, Brian, you want to come on up?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, well, we can run Brian through the what we call the honorary Bill Rafter segment.
Uh-oh. Step up.
So we know you're the fourth chair, but you got to get up.
Hey, you guys, I can't do two things at the same time.
So. Sorry.
Except when we did the podcast, except talked, I think somebody in the middle of the podcast said, are you going to let us actually talk at some point after we're all wound up?
Which, we have problems doing one thing at a time.
So. Yeah.
And show lore, Brian, when he came on the podcast, and it was on behalf of, we got him on the podcast on behalf of Skinny Ted. Ted got us in contact with him. He was in character the entire time. That was awesome.
It was crazy. Well, yeah. You guys were fun. We had an awesome time. I go back, you know, when you get really wound up and in your character and you're doing stuff, there's what you would say and what the doctor would say. And you get into doing things, you think, I hope I didn't say something that could get us all sued or something. Or you did something. Because you just get carried away and you go, I don't know what I said, but I hope it was good.
It's all right. So it's really because legal action is kind of a sign that you've made it. So we were kind of looking forward to it.
I don't want to argue. Anybody want to talk about how we're going to do some scripting stuff this afternoon? And we talked a little bit about how we all got our opportunity to play these characters. It is a total gift that people allow us to do these things, and then they throw money at us. It's an absolutely amazing thing. And like people. Like Joe fans, you guys have been doing this since you were kids. We all talked funny when we were kids and imitated various people for our neighbors and embarrassed our parents and did kind of stupid stuff. It's just really kind of cool that you can have a life where you can indulge in all that stuff.
So the thinking is, this is the first time you've been to JoeCon, first time you've experienced this with us. What are your impressions of you know, what's going on here?
Everybody acts... And I say this, everybody knows you already. This is like, this group is, Comic-Cons are really nice, and they're nifty things to see and stuff. This is like crazy, because this is like this huge family of people, and you kind of know everybody when you meet them already. It's just kind of, and you know, I get that maybe you know the character, but it's, people treat you, one of our actors was stranded in Chicago, and in the airport, and couldn't get a plane connection here, and was thinking about booking an Amtrak ticket or renting a car, and a fan came up and recognized her and drove her. And that's just kind of something that I can tell is unique to JoeCon. Everybody here is, and I talk to people all the time who say, when I come to JoeCon, I meet people from all other parts of the country, and we hang together for JoeCon. We don't see each other the rest of the year, but we're best friends, and we get those 3 or 4 days together. It's a special thing. Pretty amazing. That's from someone who's never had a chance to partake before. Like I said, you can't come here once without wanting to come back again.
So we're getting you signed up for 2016?
I'll be here. I'll be
on the board. On the board.
Sign me up. I'll be on there. Yeah.
Anybody from the club in attendance? Of course not. Come on.
It's also weird because people who are not into this, like my wife is going, I mean, it's not like you're going to meet Bobby Flay or something, you know, because he's into the cooking stuff.
Bobby Flay, come on now.
At least you get barbecue out of the deal, which is not bad. That's the thing. The only thing that you need is you need somebody to bring food to the convention. Yeah. Man, you need to have, like, Dr. Mindbender a pizza or something.
We're working on that Zingers endorsement.
I keep trying to. The reason I said Dr. Mindbender pizza is just because I always, now that I'm here, I try to include chulmugra into the dialogue. So you can get Dr. Mindbender pizza with chulmugra topping. And you come back forever. You don't believe.
I'm imagining a pizza with an antenna sticking out of the middle. Like that thing that he came with in the figure with that little wand thing that...
I don't know. It's very, very children knows, but it makes it very hard to masticate the pizza.
Whatever that means.
Okay. And we're so right. Young, too. Yeah.
I think we got a couple minutes left. Sure. But I think we want to have everyone show their appreciation to Brian Cummins.
Zach just snuck in the back. We haven't had the pleasure of having Morgan on the program before. Zach is one of our veterans. You were
Go Seahawks.
Yeah. you were one of the first folks of the Sunbow crowd to talk to us, which went a long way towards giving us the confidence to find more of you and talk to you guys as well. The first person that we talked to from voice acting that is a terrible person, or rather the next person we talk to from voice acting that's a terrible person, will be the first one. You guys are always gracious and wonderful, and we love having you on, and even Brian when he lets us talk. So, big hand.
Thank you, guys. I always do want to go up to the
interview. Justin, any shout-outs, anything you got to show you want to tell everybody about, just to wrap up the show here real quick?
I have two things that are coming out. Both of them are, one's a game pilot, and the other one's a cartoon pilot, and I can only tell you that one of them, I play a kitten, who's a serial killer.
Murder. Oh, wow.
It's really wonderful. But that's all I can tell you.
I'm in.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We're going to do some actual script here for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we'll get off before you, Will. You're fine. You can stay.
Okay. And actually, I'll get off for the next 45 minutes while we do the script.
Awesome. All right.
Justin, shout-outs, anything you got in?
It's been a pretty busy weekend. I haven't even hit the sales floor really yet, but I just want to give a shout-out to everybody who stopped by the Celtic Mist Pub on, it wasn't last night, it was the night before.
Yeah, I was real impressed with your family, the Kid Bull Bulls family.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, we had a great showing for the wake for Gary Head, which was fantastic. Shout out to Hasbro for including a tribute to him in their assortment for this year. Shout out to the club for a little Easter egg in the comic they included with him too. I know everywhere I've gone this weekend, all I've seen is reflections of him, which is a good thing. And so one more reflection of him from us here. So.
Mike, got a minute? Go ahead.
Do I have a minute? Well,
because you can get more than that.
Yeah, for real. And then I'll ask for acknowledgement in the credits. But I want to give a big hand to you guys. Thank you for coming out and supporting us. As you always do. You were here the whole time, only came in at the end. We still like you guys anyway. But so thank you for enjoying just a few minutes. And don't think we don't know who you are. Just to reiterate what Justin said, I don't want to go into that because I'll lose it. And this weekend's all about D-Bash. It's all about we'll finish with that.
All right. This is what I really wanted to save my voice for. I do want to thank all the fellow podcasters in the audience. We got David Duvall. We got Ryan from Star Jones, we got the Dirty Rush, your guys in the back, we got Internet Celebrity Dan, Pixel Dan right here.
He's on like 17 of them.
I know, thank you, it means a lot to have our peers here. Also, full force host of our sister podcast, Chris McCloud with the Beak Cliff. That's another visual joke on an audio podcast.
This hair is 3 inches tall.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to say before, I want to say my voice before we roll this thing out, and I want to make it a regular message probably on our podcast, is there's no lie how important Gary has been to all the community and this podcast in particular. He was on 99, and then he died 4 days later. He was always one of the early adopters and encouragers of the podcast as they keep going to see what the community needs. So, if anything, fight on for Gary. But one of the things that I found out after Gary's death is, despite your condition, despite your health, you really need to know your family history, and you need to go get yourself checked out. So, if you can, I know it's a little embarrassing, that especially when you're most of us in the room are getting up to 40. Go to the doctor, get yourself looked at, even if it's just a little bit of help. That's all you need to see. Your insurance can't get you there. Go to a medical clinic. Do something to get your blood pressure checked. Do something to help yourself so we can see you next year. That's the most important thing, is being a family, keeping the family together. That's it. Anything Gary taught me is know your family history, take care of yourself, and know your health. So please do that. First thing you need to get back home, get yourself a appointment, see your doctor. Alright? So, let's get around with Costco and let's get started.
You've done nothing for me.